Perek Pasuk Dalet and Perek Beis. Heviyani al Beis Hayoyin v'digloi olai ahavo. So Rashi, he brought me into the Beis Hayayin. We don't know exactly what Beis Hayayin is. V'digloi olai. He put a degel. A degel is like a banner, a sign on me. Ahavo, a sign of love. In other words, an expression of love. So let's see Rashi. Oihel moyed shesham nitnu proteo veoreo shel toira. Beis Hayayin is called the oihel moyed. It's referring to the oihel moyed. After Maimon Har Sinai, he brought me into the oihel moyed, and there all the protim of and the biurim of Torah were revealed. In other words, and Har Sinai was just the general, the Aseres Hadibros, and the protim were taught later in the oihel moyed. What? Posuk Dalet Perek Beis. All right? So he brings also here that some people learn that it refers to Beis Hayayin, refers to Har Sinai, and some say even it refers to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, it's a different mefarshim. But Rashi says it was the Ohel Moed, and there he was mefaret the protim of the Torah. The Aseres HaDibros, where in it were kolul all the mitzvos haTorah, were given in Har Sinai, and then the protim were elaborated on in the Ohel Moed. V'digloi oloi ahavo. That the gathering that he gathered us together to him, Abu Hiolai, was love for me. Oideni Zoicheres Ahavosoi. He gathered us together, I guess this is referring to the Beis Hayayin. He brought us all to the Ohel Moed. Over there the protim of the Torah and its explanations, its details and its explanations he gave us, and that gathering together that he brought us together under one banner, so to speak, to reveal to us all of the Torah is Avo Hi Eloi. It's love to me. Oideni, what does that mean? Zoicheres Ahavosoi. I still remember his love. So this is very interesting. Shlomo HaMelech seems to be telling us here. Remember, Shlomo HaMelech is prophesying to what's going to be in the Golos. The Golos means a month after Yetzias Mitzrayim, after they left the Eretz Yisrael. The Golos means 10 years and 20 years and 2,000 years.
Yeah, Rebbe doesn't want all this. Right.
No, I don't need all that.
Yeah, so maybe
we just need. I'm sorry. One second, please.
No,
excuse
okay.
me.
Just mark it
the first one's a TikTok one. That's all you need.
Okay.
Really, this or whatever, this to there.
Yeah, it's okay.
And here,
yeah.
Here it's simple.
Yeah. Okay, that one.
That's very simple.
Okay,
the first
that
Rashi.
Yeah.
Till here.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Oh, that's yours. Okay.
Yeah, you know, like a secret word for Torah?
I don't know if it's a secret word for Torah, but it's really a word for simcha.
They translate it as the chamber of Beis Hayayin to the chamber of Torah delights.
Oh, because that's it, simcha. In other words, Yayin represents, Rashi said before in the first parak, that when we use Yayin or Beis Hayayin, it refers to Oineg V'Simcha. Like the ultimate Oineg V'Simcha is Al Yayin. Ein Simcha Ela Bosov V'Bosov Yayin. That's what it says, Somachtem Chakecho, it's Bosov Yayin. So Memela, when you see Yayin, it refers to Simcha. Now, Rashi, I guess, understood that this is referring to the greatest Simcha. What's the greatest Simcha? He brought us to the Ohel Moed, and he revealed to us the Protim, and the explanations of the Torah. Har Sinai, we were given the Torah. It's ours. We're given the Aseres HaDibros. Chazal say in the Aseres HaDibros were nichlal all the Tariag Mitzvahs, but not bibiruron and not biproteim. So then the protim, the details and the explanations that he were taught in the Olam Moed, and that's the place of love. That's the place of happiness because it's the place of Hashem's expressing His love. Diglai olai ahavo, that Hashem. It's Avuhi Olai, that was love to me then, and I still remember. Which means here we are 2,000 years later, and Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, that love that Hashem expressed to Klal Yisrael by giving them the Torah at Har Sinai, and revealing all of the protim and all of the details in the Ohel Moed, he gathered us the Ohel Moed to reveal all of these details, That love is we still remember today. We the Jew feels the love of Hashem that he expressed at that time, and that probably is what the first pasuk refers to. Yishokeinim and Shikai Spiu, that we crave such an experience again. We have a memory of this special love that Hashem had for Klal Yisrael, and the love was in the giving us the Torah and the giving us the details and explaining to us all the details of the Torah. That's the greatest expression of love. I mean, you think about it. If the Torah is the purpose of creation, it's the blueprint for creation. It's based, the creation was created according to it. It has all the details of how we're supposed to live our lives to fulfill the purpose of creation. So it's the greatest expression of love. And Klal Yisrael, but the chiddush here that Shlomo HaMelech, Rashi is explaining is, Odigloi olai avo, olai on me now. That experience, I still remember that love. In other words, it's not forgotten. We go through this every posuk almost. We've been estranged. We're estranged for a long time. We were chased out of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Our relationship seems to be on the rocks, so to speak. And yet, even though we still remember fondly that love that he expressed. That love was so intense when you think about it.
Isn't it because of the Torah?
What?
Isn't it because of the Torah?
Yeah, because what he gave us. When you think about it, you know how privileged we are? We live in a world where everybody's running around and they have no clue why they're here. No clue. They have no, and they don't even if they know why they're here, it should be a good person. Very nice, but like, what's the mission? What's the purpose? What's the point of it all? And Klal Yisrael was given the Torah to share, to guide us, to tell us, this is the purpose. I'm telling you, I love you so much that I'm giving you all the directions, all the details of the directions. I'm not leaving it up to you. I'm explaining all the details to you also.
So the purpose is to follow the directions?
Sure, but, yeah, of course, what do you mean? The purpose is the learn the Torah, is to observe the Torah, is to achieve our own personal shleimus, perfecting ourselves, and eventually that the world should come to recognize Hashem. Again, in a very simple, we discussed this a little bit last night, very simply put, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Mekor HaChesed. The greatest chesed that he could do for the world is to have the whole world connect with him. There is no, the Maseil Sharm explains, the Taneko Amiti Vo'idin HaGodol Mikol Yidunim is the Dveikus Hashem. There is no pleasure in this world. And there's nothing that's in the next world, that's what it is, as closeness to Hashem. David HaMelech, who was very worldly and experienced and everything, Vani Kirvas Elokim LiTov. Closeness to Hashem, that's the ultimate good. That's the ultimate good, that's the ultimate pleasure, Dveikus Hashem. Now, we have a personal mission to achieve that in our own lives, and we have a communal, a universal mission to keep that. Right now, we're only keeping it warm, so eventually the world should be able to come on board. But we've made a lot of progress in that, because the majority of the civilized world has access to our Bible. They've translated it, even though initially we didn't want it that way, but they translated it, and they have it, and they have what they call today the Judeo-Christian ethic. At least there's certain basics, at least there was. I don't know what's happening to the society as it goes to the dogs, but Lemaisa, it was society built on reflecting on values that we find in the Torah. And that's so the world has a little bit. We have it far greater, and eventually we'll bring this to the world. If you want an example, it's one of my favorite examples of how far greater what we have is from what the world understands. I mean, the simple examples are like this. Everybody knows murder is forbidden. Loi tirzach. But does the world know that Malvim Pnei Chaver Barabim is considered murdering a person? If you embarrass him publicly, that's considered like you murdered him. Everybody knows Lisignov, you shouldn't steal. Does the world know that if I say good morning to you, maybe you said good morning to me today, I don't know if I answered you, and I don't answer you, I'm stealing. Because since you say good morning to me, I owe you a response. And the Gemara says, that's Begeder Lisignov. I'm stealing from you. I don't know, Lisignov, I think it's Lisignov. Like, the world doesn't understand that. The world understands you shouldn't hurt somebody, right? You shouldn't. If you hurt somebody, you should have to pay for it. But this is hurt. Does the world understand what the Zohar says? That if a man is intimately with his wife and he's thinking about another woman, It's begedeli sinof. It's on a certain level, it's like adultery. The concept of the world, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? What are you? The world today couldn't tolerate such a concept. You know what I mean? But yes, because the depth of love and caring and dedication and commitment and loyalty is such that there should be no hafraot, there should be nothing interfering with that, even in a machshava. But that's on a very sophisticated level. But I'll tell you, it gets even more sophisticated. Listen to this. The Mishnah says, if you hire poyalim, you hire workers, okay? And they work, and you pay them $10 a day to paint your house. And you tell them food is included, meals included. The Mishnah says you will not fulfill your contractual obligation even if you give them a meal, kisuda shleima b'shaita. Suda shleima b'shaita was not a seven-course dinner. Suda shleima b'shaita was not shaykh, the level of extravagance and luxury and food and delicacies. And in the world, there never was such a thing. Even if you give them that, you're not fulfilling your obligation because they're b'nei Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. What? This poor worker. He's working for $10 a day. He barely has what to eat at home. And you give him a seven-course dinner. Or you give him suda shleima b'shaita. No, he's not satisfied. No, you didn't fulfill your contractual obligation. You said food. You said meals included. What in the world is going on over there, right? So the Alta points out, like Altam Slabotka points out like this. He says that since he's B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, he's in pain in what he's doing. He is feeling, you know, I'm working as a menial worker. I'm getting $10 a day. Okay, they're giving me food. But like, so even if on a conscious level, he's thrilled with what you're giving him. You gave him the best meal he ever had in his life. But subconsciously, he's B'nai, and that's what the Mishnah says. He's B'nai Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and it's hurting him on the subconscious. So you didn't fulfill your obligation to give him meals to satisfy his subconscious need. That's a breach of contract. Where do you find such a concept in the world that if we make a contract, and therefore the Mishnah says, when you hire the guy next time, say, Almanas, that you're only having bread and beans. If that's the menu, that's the menu, that's the deal. But if I say meals, you're never going to be Yotze. Because even though you'll be Yotze, his conscious desire, but you won't be Yotze yourself. So here we see a thing the Alter points out. He says, you see that the Torah reckons in a contract that's left vague, that isn't specified exactly, reckons with the subconscious desire as well. That you're mechuyev, if you make an agreement to give him meals, those meals have to satisfy the subconscious as well. Where do you find such a thing? That's the privilege that we have. That's the expression of love. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us insights into right and wrong and values and sensitivities that nobody could imagine. No human being could imagine such things. If that Mishnah wasn't passed to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai and passed on eventually to Rabbeinu HaKadosh to be able to write it down, no human being could have had such a thought. Would you ever think of such a thing? Oh, if I make a contract with you and I say meals, I have to satisfy your subconscious needs as well. This is the privilege we have in that. Hashem taught it to us. This is the greatest expression of love. And this love we still remember. And even though we've drifted, even though we've been chased out, even though we are estranged, even though we're misbehaving, but that memory is still there. That's what Shlomo HaMelech has made. That's what Rashi says. V'digloi olai avo. That love, the memory of that love still remains. Maybe we can sneak in another pasuk. We have a few minutes. Let's see. Samchuni bo ashishreis. To bolster me, to hold me up. Ba ashishreis. With some kinds of cakes. We'll see. Maybe Rashi explains. Rapiduni betapuchim. Make my bed fresh with, I guess, the aroma of apples. Ki choylas ahavo oni, because I'm lovesick. I'm sick with the sickness of love. Rashi. Samchuni ato kemidas hachoylim ba'ashishe anovim or ba'ashishe solas v'dikiyah. He says, now, like you treat a sick person, treat me with wine. What, I don't forget the word in English. The remnants of wine. What's it called? The
residue.
Who?
Residue.
Who? Residue. I don't know. Something. Yeah. Or bashisha soiles nikia, or cakes of, you know, fine flour. Give me special delicacies. Rapiduni. That's from like a to refresh my bed. Raptu refidosi svivoisai betapuchim. Spread around me tapuchim. I guess apples have a nice fragrance around my sick bed. Tapuchim lereach toiv, in order to give a good fragrance. Kederech achoylim, like you do for sick people. They give them a nice aroma. So I guess a good positive aroma is somewhat healing, or at least it relaxes them or puts them at ease. Ki choylo ani lahavosoi, because I'm sick for his love. Ki tzomesi loy poi begolusi, because I'm thirsting for him here in my golos. And herein really is a very Rafida Loshen Matzah. Rafida is like a place, a bed, like something like that. Yirpat Chorutz Aleitit. So it was sort of like a bed, a place that you lie on. So here this person says, Klal Yisrael is obviously speaking. Actually, didn't go through the Moshel and the Nimshel over here like he usually does, but he's talking right to the Nimshel. He says, I'm sick. So give me these delicious aromas to surround me, to surround my sick bed. Why? Because Choyla Savoni. Ki choylo ani lahavosei, I'm sick for that love of Hashem. Yitzomesi loy poi begolusi, because I thirst for him here in my exile. So here, Rashi revealed to us, the Pasuk reveals to us, another level. Not only is it digloy olai ahavo, that I still remember the love of the past, but that memory, and maybe that memory is what incites it, creates a craving or coexists with it, a craving. I want that love again. I'm sick for his love. Because I'm thirsting for him here. I'm in Golus. I'm far away from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me, but only behest upon him. He's hidden. There's a hest upon him in the Golus. I know Hashem is, the Shechina is begolus with us, but we don't see it. We don't feel it. It's not like you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you feel the Hashoras Hashchino, and you see the Levim singing Shiro and the Korbonos that you bring in this Karavus Lashem. That's what a Korban is, to be Makaravas to Hashem, from Loshon Korov, many people say. And the Kohen Godel recites the Shema Mefirish on Yom Kippur, goes into the Kodesh Kodoshim. The atmosphere was overwhelming, and the closest to Hashem that we could feel, this is his place. V'shochanti, also the Mikdosh, V'shochanti V'soichom. I'm going to be in your midst, in this Mikdosh. We don't have that anymore. We're in Golus. The Shechina is Begolus with us, but behest upon him. And what do? We're sick. We remember the love, and we're sick, craving to feel that love again, the intensity of that. Now, I would just say that, and this is just a conjecture, but I think it's valid, that in the Golus, we felt Hashem in many, many ways. If you think about it, just the very survival of the Klal Yisrael in Golus is the greatest Hashgochas Hashem, that we've been more oppressed and tormented and tortured than anyone else on the face of this planet in history, and yet they can't put us out of business. All the tormentors, the torturers from all the history, the Mitzrim and the Bavloim and the Romans and the Greeks and all of them, they're all gone. They're in the history books and in the museums, and Klal Yisrael continues here. We're still connected. We're still doing the same mitzvahs. We're still learning the same Torah. It's Mavel al Arayon. And you see Hashem's hashgoch, and you see Hashem's love. But Klal Yisrael is not satisfied with that. Choylas ahava oni. When you're sick with love sickness, then you need more and more and more and more. I'm thirsty. Person's thirsty. You can't satisfy that thirst. It's such a thirstiness. We so thirst that relationship with Hashem. Now, I just want to conclude with the following idea. If a person would realize to the extent to which we thirst for that relationship, for more of that relationship, for a closer relationship, to feel that love more and more, I think our lives would be completely different. Because if I realize that this is what's bothering me, then I'm going to seek out the medicine to heal my sickness. And there is a medicine to heal my sickness, and that is through the Torah, as Rashi said in the first Rashi, in the first parak, when Klal Yisrael is mishtashim b'Torah, they delight in the Torah, and then they feel that real connection to Hashem. So we need it. It's alive and well. That sickness is alive. That love sickness is alive and well, even in the Golus. And no matter how much we have of Hashem in protecting us and in the whole history of the Golus, we still crave more. And that craving can only be satisfied through the Torah.
Was there ever a point of like, bringing something back to Mashiach?